Please turn with me, if you would, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. As you're heading that direction, I don't know about you, but incomplete projects can be frustrating. At least they are to me. I know some people, if they're missing a piece of the puzzle, that just drives them crazy. They get it all done and there's just one piece left that they can't find. It's an incomplete project. Or how about, I know there are some that if they start a movie, they got to finish it. No matter if it's 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, if the movie started, they just have to finish it and not leave it incomplete. And then there are times where you may have a project, maybe a home project that's just sitting there, that's been started, that's not incomplete, and it seems like every time you walk by it, you're reminded of it. There it is, incomplete. Something incomplete is something unfinished. And this morning, I want you to see that the Bible tells you, and us, that the Christian is complete. The Christian is complete. Colossians chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 9. It says here, well, let me go back to verse 6. It says, verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Lord, we thank You for this day. I thank You for the blessings You've given to us. And as we consider this passage for a few moments, I pray You help us to understand Your Word and to just be open to what's here. I pray You'll encourage us, convict us, challenge us, comfort us this morning, Holy Spirit. Whatever the need may be, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have three implications that I want to draw from this passage here this morning. Primarily from verse 10, that phrase where it says, and ye are complete in Him. Ye are complete in Him. Three implications that this gives us. First, it implies that the believer lacks nothing. There is nothing in your life that God has not provided or will provide, whether it's spiritually, emotionally, or I even believe physically if you need it. The Bible says that you are complete in Christ. Complete. The word for complete here refers to a fullness, to be full, to be filled. Basically, you can read it, we are filled with Christ. His fullness, His goodness, His grace fills us and completes us as a person and as a believer. With those thoughts in mind, as far as lacking nothing, I want to make two statements here, and I hope to back them up. First, you cannot complete yourself. What I mean by that is there is nothing within you, if you look deep down inside, or there's nothing without, if you look throughout the world, that you can find that will complete you like Christ completes you. You see, the world offers much to people. And Paul alludes to this when he talks here in verse 8. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. He says, beware those that lead you in that direction or point to you in that direction as far as fulfilling yourself or completing yourself. You see, the world offers much, but the world cannot complete you as Christ completes you. You know what the world offers? First, it can offer education. There's a lot of knowledge in this world. I think in our generation, I don't know how it's going to be in the next generation, but I know in our generation, I'm amazed how much information we can access just within a few seconds with your phone or your computer or your tablet, whatever you have. We can have information, access it, look up anything you want. It's all right there. The world offers knowledge, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it won't fulfill you as far as your heart, your soul, your spirit. Another thing we find in this world is entertainment. There is plenty of entertainment in this world. Plenty of things to keep you occupied, to keep you busy, to make you happy, to draw your interest. There is entertainment. Entertainment abounds in our world today. I think part of that is because of our technology. Nothing wrong with technology, but with that comes entertainment. We can, I tell you, I don't know about you, but I can turn on a TV and I don't know if there's 500 channels or 1,000 channels, depends on what package you get, I guess. Sometimes I can find nothing in all those channels, but they're there. There's a whole bunch to look and to find. There's just so much we can entertain ourselves with. You could probably wake up every day and just find something new to go do. There's just so much out there in this world. But what we find is with that comes no lasting satisfaction or peace. You know, entertainment and education, there's nothing wrong with either of those. They just don't offer the peace that will complete your soul like Christ does. And that's what Christ does for the believer. He completes the believer. You see, the world is empty. Paul talked about the world being vain. In other words, you can seek and never find. Some people just settle and they're never satisfied. There's just something missing. They know it. Maybe they don't want to talk about it. And maybe they're looking for it. They just don't know what it is. There's just something missing in their heart because the world cannot provide what Christ can. And that leads me to my second statement. First, you cannot complete yourself. Secondly, Christ completes you. Christ completes you. It says here in verse 10, "And ye are complete in Him." You are filled. You are full. It's implying that someone is satisfied. They are now content because Christ has completed them. You know, you think of a puzzle. All the pieces are there now. Christ has filled whatever void was in your life. Christ now completes you. And that's what we find in the Bible. That Christ completes the believer. To begin with, He secures your salvation. You don't have to secure your salvation. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it in any kind of way. You don't have to find it or achieve it. Christ has taken care of that. He has secured your salvation. He has made the atonement for sin, and He has paid the price. All you have to do is repent and believe on Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches once you believe on Christ, you are unified with Christ. There's a union that now takes place between you and Christ, and Christ completes you. He provides what is missing so you can be saved. You know, that provision really is a new heart and a new life, the washing and regenerating of the Spirit. So what we find is Christ gives us a new life. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. As you're heading that direction, I want you to consider, it says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, that we are new creatures in Christ. All things become new, old things are passed away. You know, once someone is saved, they are a new creature in Christ. They have a new life in Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, we have Paul really describing a little bit of what Christ does for the believer, how He works in our life. Philippians chapter 4. We find him talking about God providing our needs. And I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but I'll read a few of the verses here. It says in verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." Let me just begin right here. You know what Christ does? Part of Him completing you, He provides peace and He provides comfort in your heart. Now just think about that for a moment. I don't know about you, but circumstances can disrupt peace. Situations can sometimes rob us of the comfort that we're looking for. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says Christ can provide that. And it refers to it as the peace that passeth all understanding. I like to think of it this way. It's the peace you cannot explain. You're going through a difficulty or a trial, and everyone's looking saying, you know what, you should be falling apart. You yourself may think, I should be falling apart. But Christ has given you that peace, that He is still in control. That no matter what happens, He's got a plan for your life, that He's with you still. He has not neglected you or forsaken you, and that He's there with you. See, He completes you, provides that peace that you need when you need it. And that's what Christ does. He completes us. Secondly, if you just look down to verse 13 in this same passage of Philippians chapter 4, notice what he says here. And this is Paul speaking. He says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Now that's a bold statement, folks. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know, it reminds me of children. Children make bold statements. You know that when you think about it. I think children have a lot more faith than adults sometimes. They think things can happen and they can be done. I've seen children look at something and you're thinking, and then they think, hey, I can do it. You know, Paul says, I can do all things, but he didn't settle on his strength. He says, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You see, that's what Christ does. He provides the power that is needed. And for each of us, that's different. Okay? You may need strength tomorrow that nobody else in this room needs. You need Christ's strength, maybe to make a decision, maybe to get through a difficult moment, and you can be certain Christ can provide that when you need it. Oh, you may not need it right now, but when you need it, He can give it to you. You see, that's what Christ does. He completes us. He gives us the strength that is required to get through troubles, trials, temptations, or through any difficult moment. Verse 19 of the same chapter, if you look down, we're in chapter 4, Philippians. I'll just read one more. Notice what he says here. And this is in verse 19 of Philippians chapter 4. He says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You know, one of the things we find in common with all these is Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. They're all done through Jesus Christ. Not our power, not the power of a church or church building or of a denomination or of anybody else or anything else. It's the power of Christ. And we find that Christ will provide all of our needs. Everything that you require, He can provide it. He can provide your spiritual needs. He can provide your emotional needs. I also believe He can provide your physical needs when you need it. You see, Christ can provide those. He completes the believer with His power, His strength, His abilities. He makes us complete so we can live for Him. So Christ completes us. Provides, I think, the satisfaction that we would want or that we need. Now that leads me to my second implication here, the second thing I think we find implied in this passage here in Colossians chapter 2. Notice it says in verse 10, "Ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." You are complete in Him. So, first it's implied that you lack nothing. Second, I think it's implied that you don't need to look anywhere else for power or strength or help or however you want to phrase it. You just need to look to Christ because He completes you. There are three reasons I want to give you why people look somewhere else besides God. The first one is I think sometimes people are just distracted. Let's think about unbelievers. Hope everyone here is saved. But let's think about an unbeliever for a moment. You know, there are some people that are just too busy with life to consider death and eternity. They're distracted. They have nice jobs. They have nice homes. They have all these things going on in their life, running from one place to another, not necessarily doing anything wrong or anything that we would look and say that you're an evil person or a wicked person. They're just distracted. They're just living life. And they are so busy that they can't slow down to consider their soul. So busy that they won't slow down to consider their eternity or even think about dying. Folks, I don't enjoy thinking about death, but that's part of life. That's what's coming. We should consider it. You know, when you have funerals are opportunities, I think, as a pastor and as Christians, that not only can we remember what Christ has done for the individual that's been called home if they're saved, but we can rejoice that Christ has done the same for us. You see, some are too busy to consider those things. They're distracted. Now let's think about believers now for a moment. You know, once you're saved, we can busy ourselves too. We can get so busy with life that we don't consider Christ anymore. You see, we get too busy to serve God. Too busy to read our Bible maybe. Too busy to pray. Too busy to just sacrifice a little time to consider the Lord. Or too busy to carry out our God-given responsibilities. Maybe as a husband, or as a wife, or as a dad, or a mom, or a grandma, or a grandpa, or any other responsibility that God has given us, we get too busy to even carry those out. By the way, if you're that busy, you're too busy, is my thought. If you're that busy where you cannot focus on the Lord, then you're too busy. You need to slow down and find a way where you can focus on God again. But that's what happens. We just get busy and we get distracted. Or secondly, we can get burdened in life. I mentioned troubles earlier and trials and temptations. Those are real. And they're out there. And it's easy to be overcome with worry and fear. You know, sometimes I worry, don't even realize it. And I stop and think about it. You know, I'm worrying over that. I've been thinking about that for the last 20 minutes. I shouldn't even be thinking about that. I've got to leave it with the Lord. It's just so easy to worry over things sometimes. And when we worry, we get distracted with things of the world. We're looking at the world, or we're looking at our problems instead of looking to the Lord. We need to turn to God. We need to look for Him, or look to Him for help, instead of just worrying or being concerned of those things. I just think that we need to look to Christ in all things instead of being distracted. Keep our eyes on the Lord. So we can be distracted. Secondly, we can be deceived. That's what Paul's referring to here. Let's go back to our passage. Notice in verse 8. And I want to talk about these four just real quick. He says, "Beware lest any man spoil you." And then he gives four. He says, "Through philosophy and vain deceit." And he says, "After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." You know, it's possible to be deceived, and in this deception, to take our eyes off the Lord. We're complete if you're saved. God's completed you. But what ends up happening is you begin, if we're not careful, looking to other sources for strength or other areas for guidance. He gives four here. He says philosophy. That falls into human thought or reasoning. It's a wide field here that Paul's referring to. It's a general word. And during his time, there were people that were Gnostics they had, and others that had all these teachings that they produced these false teachings. Some of them introduced them to the church or brought in works with the church. And that's what he says, beware of. Beware of these humanism, so to speak. All these reasonings and these philosophies out there. And then he brings up vain deceit. That's empty teachings. In other words, promises made that can't be fulfilled. You know, there are a lot of cults that fall into this right here. I tell you what, they got a lot of promises. You do this, you can have this. You do this, you can have this. You do this, you can have this. A lot of those are just empty teachings. There's nothing real behind those, except for basically what they say. And Paul says, beware of those. I tell you, if you can't back it up with God's word, then you beware of it. You stay away from it. And that's what Paul says here. Tradition. When people elevate their customs or their personal preferences above God's word, he says that's dangerous. Beware of those. Don't follow those as in place of God. And then he says here, the rudiments of the world. In other words, the principles of the world, or the plans that are developed in the world, the plans of men and women. You know, here's what Paul's getting to, folks. You know, the believer is complete in God. Christ has completed us. He's basically warning us, saying, beware of those systems that oppose God or oppose Christ. Or beware of those systems that are put in place of God or in place of Christ. You know, to make it practical here this morning, if you have a problem in your life, there's nothing wrong with seeking some advice, some good advice from friends, maybe your family. But I think your best source, I know your best source is God. Take it to Him. Seek Him in prayer. Follow His direction. Instead of trusting in all these things that the world may bring up. And that's what Paul is telling us here. That you are now complete in Christ. Christ is going to provide those needs for you. Christ is going to provide all that is needed and all that is essential. You know, a lot of times what we find in the world is a lot of the things that the world does, that they propose to do what God can do or what God alone can do. For example, there are some teachings that they propose that they can give you peace of mind. Folks, the only one that can give you true peace is God. That's it. You get peace through Jesus Christ because you now have a right relationship with God. And then He provides the peace in your heart because He dwells in you. You see, that's what Paul is warning us. He says, you are complete in Christ. You don't have to seek those other areas for strength or for direction or for spiritual power. You see, with Christ, we can do all things. Also, here's the third one here. You can be distracted, you can be deceived. Finally, and this is, I think, what most Christians fall into, we can just become discontent. We don't like to think we can become discontent, but we can become discontent. And it's often due to circumstances. You know, things aren't happening around us like we believe they should. And we get discontent. Or we can get discontent because of unmet expectations. We just look at things and we think, you know, that's not what I wanted or I hoped. And we can become discouraged. Also, we can become discontent because we just think that nothing's happening. You know, I think if we're not careful, we can go to the Bible and we can read of men like Abraham, and we can read of men like Daniel and David, and we see God working these great miracles. And if we're not careful, we can begin to think that that's what happened every single day of their life. Abraham woke up, and every single day of his life, there was some great miracle that took place. Well, actually, when you read the Bible, the great miracles that we find as far as God working directly were far and few between. That's why they're great miracles. That's why they're amazing. You know, a lot of times they just live like us, day to day, trusting in the Lord to provide. Going the direction that they believed God was leading them. Trusting in the Lord. The apostles, all of them. And so, if we're not careful, we can become discontent because we just think things aren't moving as fast as we would like. You see, this morning, we have to remember that Jesus Christ is in control. That's what I think we find in verse 10. Notice it says here, ye are complete in Him. Notice the second half of this. Which is the head of all principality and power. Here's what I want to remind you of this morning. Jesus Christ is the head or the authority of all things. As far as principalities and powers, some believe it's referring to the angelic ranks. Some believe it's referring to the authorities. Whatever the case may be, it's very clear here that Paul is saying that Christ is above those things. That He is the authority. That He is above all. In other words, there are none above Christ. He doesn't even have His equal, folks. Not even close. Christ is above everybody else. That tells us, this morning, the believer, if you're saved here, you don't receive your power from a secondary source. And I want that to sink in this morning, okay? Your power comes from the highest authority in this world, and that's Jesus Christ. You're not receiving help through three or four different channels. You're not receiving help from a second or third or fourth authority. You are complete in Christ, the Creator, the God of this world. You see, you are complete in the Lord. You have help from the highest authority in the world. There's no need to look elsewhere because you already have the best. Why go looking for other help from other sources when you can go to Jesus Christ? Why lean upon someone else when you can lean upon Christ? You see, that's the challenge for us. We must look to Christ in all areas, in all things, because He's already made us complete. We must just live in Him. And that leads me to my final thought here this morning. And I think this is the third implication we find in this passage. And that's because we are complete, we can now live for God. We can now live for God. In other words, there are no more excuses, so to speak, of why we can't live for the Lord. I do believe once you're saved that God gives you everything necessary to live for Him. If we don't live for Him, it's not because of God's fault. It's because of our fault. Either we have been, we go back to those three, distracted, deceived, or we're discontent. And so we are not looking to Christ and living for Him. But I do believe that God has given us all that is necessary. Let me prove this. Let's go over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and it says, I'll read the last two verses of this chapter. It says, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Let me just cover these four areas that Christ has made unto us. Notice first, He says, He has made unto us wisdom. You know what that tells you? God has not only given you wisdom, Christ now dwells with you, and He is wisdom. Now, wisdom is the correct use of knowledge. We talked about knowledge earlier. You know, you can have all sorts of knowledge and no wisdom. You can know things but not know how to use them. Knowledge and wisdom are different. We need both. Christ is wisdom to us. Because of Jesus Christ, the believer can discern right from wrong. I think that's what we see in our world today, the difference. It's not that a believer is better than anybody else. A believer is saved by God's grace. A believer is a sinner saved by God. But you know the difference? Christ has given the believer wisdom. And they can now discern right from wrong. I've heard of testimonies of people. Maybe there's someone here. This is your testimony. They were saved later in life after they had lived in sin. After they had made some poor decisions. And after they were saved, they look and they say, I now see what's right and what's wrong. Before, it just seemed like a mess. I just did my own thing. But now, I look back, I say, I shouldn't have done that because of this. Or I should have done this because of this. You see what it is? Christ has become wisdom to the believer. And you now can discern right and wrong. That's why this morning when you go out or you maybe read the paper or you look at things, you can see things and I don't know about you, but it seems like there's just like a flashlight that, hey, it goes off. That's not right. Or that's right. You see, you can begin discerning right and wrong because Christ has made unto you wisdom. And not only can you discern it, but you can, in turn, make some correct choices in life. Make some correct choices. You see, a lot of, you know what the world wants to say? The world wants to put it on how you were raised, or they want to place it in situations or circumstances, is what they want to say. That's what the world teaches. That the reason why you make these decisions is because you have this situation or you've been placed in this circumstance. Well, you know what? I do believe circumstances affect us. And certain situations, of course, can, I guess you say, have an effect on our life. But when it comes down to it, loved ones, when Christ comes into your heart and gives you that wisdom, He also, in turn, will give you the ability to act upon that wisdom. Make the right decision. You know, there are people that are saved today that were raised in Christian homes. Thank God for that. They heard the word early. They put their faith in Christ. Praise God for that. But you know, there are also people today that are saved that were raised in what I would call ungodly homes. Not necessarily wicked, but guess what? There was no church, so to speak of, no emphasis on God. And now they're saved, and guess what? They have God's wisdom too. They can discern right and wrong. You see, that's what God does. God changes the heart. God gives a new life. That's why we preach the gospel. You see, He has made wisdom unto us, so we can make those right decisions. Secondly, notice it says He is righteousness. Righteousness refers to purity of heart and purity of life. Two things. You know what Christ has done? He's given you a new heart. He's purified you when you were saved, so you can now stand before God. Folks, He's completed you. You can stand before God, complete. And secondly, He's given you a new life that you can now live for Him and for His glory. Of course, we have to live it in His strength and according to His will. But that's righteousness. We can now live correctly. Number three, in 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says that He is made unto us sanctification. Sanctification is basically the act of making someone holy, setting them apart. You know what Christ has done? First, He has set you apart from the world. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for that. Once you were saved, you know what He did? Now, He may not have done it physically, but once you were saved, He has picked you up and He's moved you. You are no longer part of the world. He has moved you out of that category, and He's brought you into God's family, and you now belong to God. You see, that's the work of Christ. He has set you aside, set you apart. That's wonderful, loved ones. When Christ looks upon the believer, when God looks upon the believer, He sees you as His, belonging to Him. And that's all due to Christ, making you complete. Also, we find that He set you aside from sin. You're forgiven. And He has now set you aside for service. Think of those three things. He set you aside from the world, He has set you aside from sin, and He has set you aside so you can serve Him. Glorify God. Up until that point, folks, you can do all the good deeds you want. But until Christ comes into your heart, you don't belong to God. When Christ enters in, everything's changed. He has sanctified you. And then finally it says He has redeemed you. Now that word is referring to the purchase of what we would call captured goods or prisoners. And it can be done by any means. We know that Christ has redeemed us on the cross by His shed blood on Calvary. He's redeemed us, purchased us, and given us a new life. You know, we're talking about being complete in Christ. This morning, if you're saved, there is nothing more you have to do. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I'm not talking about service. I'm talking about your salvation right now. There's nothing more you have to do. You don't have to save up a little bit more money just in case. You know, you do that sometimes in life, right? Save up a little bit more money. Anticipating something breaking down at the house or a car problem or something, and you want to just be ready. Isn't it wonderful to know you don't have to do that for salvation? You don't have to say, well, I got to save up a few more good works, so I'm ready. It's complete. Christ has completed your salvation. There is nothing more for you to do. Nothing else for you to pay. He has taken care of that. And he has secured it forever by his payment of sin. I want to give you some concluding thoughts this morning. We're talking about the believer is complete in Christ. The Christian is complete. And I want to give you two concluding thoughts. First, we say all this to say this. If someone is complete with Christ, that means someone without Christ is incomplete. Without Christ, someone is incomplete. You know, when you stop to think about that, isn't it a sad thought to think of it that way? That people in this world without Christ, there's something missing. They're not complete. They have a void. There's an emptiness in their life. Although they may not speak about it or recognize it. Some of them, I think, do. Some of them try to avoid it. Maybe before you were saved, that's how you were. But that's what the Bible teaches. And when you think of it that way, people in this world are in a sad state, an incomplete state. Not the state that God wants them in, but the state that they are in because of their sin and their situation. And they will never be satisfied until Christ is in their life. If that's you here this morning, you'll never be satisfied until Christ is in your life. Oh, you can seek all you want. You can stay busy all you want. You can do as many good works as you'd like. There's still going to be that void inside that only Christ can fill. Because only He can produce that peace. Only He can provide the strength. Only He can take your place. Only He can complete you, is what the Bible teaches. And that's what He does. He completes people. He makes them whole. He finishes the work of salvation in their life. You know, as we go out as believers, think of it that way. As you witness this week, think of it that way. If there are people around you without Christ, they're incomplete. There's a void missing. And you have knowledge. You know Christ. You have the knowledge of what will complete them. Share that with them. Let them know that Christ will save them. Let them know that Christ will complete them. Let them know that Christ will provide what they're missing. Their spiritual need. The hunger that's within. The peace that they may be seeking or searching for. Only Christ can provide that. And those without Christ need to hear it. I hope and pray this morning you're saved. And if you are, you know Christ as your Savior and you're complete. And that leads me to my last thought here, my concluding thought. I had one. If you're without Christ, you're incomplete. But if you're with Christ, then you are complete. This morning, if you're with Christ, you are complete. There is no need for you to look elsewhere, okay? There's no need to look elsewhere. You don't got to go pay a bunch of money to somebody to help you and complete you. Now, I'm not speaking about seeking advice or anything like that. I'm talking about your spiritual needs, your emotional needs. You don't need to go into this world to find help. If you ever run into a problem, you just need to get with God. Read His Word. Seek Him in prayer. You see, He provides the spiritual needs, the emotional needs, even the physical needs that you require because you are complete in Him. So look to Christ in all things and live for His glory today.